How did this all come to be? How does it go from ICW to the future is now?
Well, after this process started around August, I want to say, I got a phone call from the guys behind ICW, and they said, we're looking to create a new brand. There's a lot of young, new talent in New York City, and we're looking for someone to help shape that talent, help bring it together, work in hand with us to make an awesome brand. The future is now. And ICW, Jack Sabbath, the promoter, had run Future Is Now shows sporadically, I would say for the past 9 years, 8 years, intermittent with regular ICW shows. And he wanted to make a natural brand out of this. He wanted to do something different. He wanted to create an alternative. And I'm kind of known, well, I would hope to be known for a guy who likes bringing wrestling alternatives. Like with the Shapiro character I do, with the throwback wrestling manager, and 2KW, we try to be a little more gritty and urban. You know, UWF with all that, without all the GTA stuff tossed in, or trying to make good pro wrestling. And Jack and I have known each other for about a year, and we worked hand in hand together, and he gave me an offer. And anytime you're given the offer to work with some of the best talent you can find and build something, you can't say no to it. So it started around August, and we were building the card slowly but surely, and everything's falling into place, everything's locked into place, and we're getting ready for November 18th, and it is exciting, stressful, so many emotions. So I feel like Anthony Rizzo right now.
So you've got a cast of characters that, like, I mean, the card is so deep that it could be, like, its own video game. So, like, let's just talk, seriously, it's like, you know, Bull James, Rude Boy Riley, Darius Carter, Ken Broadway, the list goes on and on. You've got the House of Glory champion as well. I mean, how did you get all of these guys together? And how receptive were they to be a part of, like, you know, the beginning of this new brand?
Well, I'm friends with a lot of these guys. Like, I'm on shows with almost everybody on the roster once a month, so I get to call from some of the best talent in the world and shoot them a Facebook message or a text and say, hey, doing this thing, want to invest in you and give you an opportunity to perform in front of maybe some new people, maybe give you a different opportunity, or, you know, just try to create an alternative. And a lot of these guys love working with me and love the idea. They love the idea of an alternative. They love the idea of a new plan, and love the idea of working against guys they normally wouldn't work against. Like, you've got Anthony Gangone against both. Every match on this card is a first-time match. These guys may have wrestled on the same shows before. They've never wrestled against each other in a singles match or a tag team match. And it's opening doors to new opportunities, fresh matchups. Guys from House of Glory, Warriors of Wrestling, 2KW, Five Barrels Wrestling, like all the companies in New York converging here in trying to prove who's the best. And that's the goal. The goal is to produce the best talent in New York and put on some of the best shows. So it's basically me and Jack Sabbath just contacting these guys, telling them the idea, presenting it to them, saying, would you want to buy in? And these guys are buying in.
All right, just let's talk a little bit about some of the people on the card, because, I mean, if you're like us, if you're indie guys and you've seen a lot of these guys, like, either live or on YouTube, you know what to expect. But can we just go through some of the guys on the card? I'll mention a name and you tell me, like, what makes them special. All right, so, like, the Messiah of Cashflow himself, the king of ghetto strong style, Ken Broadway. What does he bring to the table?
Ken Broadway is a guy that I've been having my eye on for quite a while, and you've seen him in House of Glory. I've worked with him in 2KW and House of Glory. He's got it. He understands how professional wrestling works. He has a character. He has a defined style. He's been evolving, and he knows what to do inside the ring. He is closely becoming one of the best total package wrestlers in New York, and slowly, I think, in the country. He's only been around for 2 or 3 years. He's in his early 20s. He's a world of potential. He's an athlete. He's a wrestler. He practices Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's a guy that can do tons of different things inside that ring. I've seen him brawl with Anthony Gangone in no ropes matches, go up against Zack Sabre Jr., I've seen him do a variety of things, and he keeps getting better. He works against some of the best talent, and I think we got a great opportunity for him to work against a guy that you never expected him to go up against in Matt Tremont. And that match I'm looking forward to, because it's two completely different styles, it's two completely different personalities, and it's the classic rich archetype against the common man, the guy. Like, I associate this match to Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, in terms of personality. I've known Matt Tremont for 4 years, give or take. I worked with Matt in 2013 at On Point Wrestling, and ever since then we've kept in contact, and especially when he worked for 2KW Pro. And he's one of my favorite people in pro wrestling, inside and outside the ring. And the same thing with Ken. And Ken has just got this star quality about him that's hard to deny.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Anthony Gangone before. I'm pretty sure he's the current House of Glory champion. So what does he bring to the table? How is he special?
There is nobody in wrestling today or alive like Anthony Gangone. Gangone reminds me a lot of the outlaw wrestlers, Dick Murdoch or a Ray Stevens, a Brian Pillman, or, you know, guys like that who work hard, have their own personality, have their own aura. Gangone has an aura about him that is very, very, very drawing. And he's an amazing wrestler. He's a brawler. He is willing to put his body on the line in every match he's in. He's a crazy person. He's a guy that I've known for years, have an immense amount of respect for, a guy that gives everything he has, and is someone that, to me, is a special talent. And a guy that should be known more. If you look at what he's doing in Beyond Wrestling with the Crusade for Change, or everywhere, he works with a guy like Darius Carter. And just the amount of effort and talent he has, and his knowledge for pro wrestling. I like to consider myself very knowledgeable about the ins and outs of pro wrestling, but when you talk with Anthony Gangone, he gets it. He gets it, and it's fun to work with a guy like that.
All right, Darius Carter, it's a guy that his name seems to like kind of pop up in every show in the five boroughs over the past couple of years.
I don't like using comparisons, but it's the things that come to my mind. He reminds me of Nick Bockwinkel. He reminds me of the kind of guy who would start a riot just by being who he is. He is a guy who believes in pro wrestling and believes in himself and is so unapologetic about all of it. I've not seen many people get the reaction he gets from what he does inside the ring. He is a bastard. And it's not an insult to Darius, but he is a bastard.
Yeah.
And it just shows, and now that he's got this intern, TK Luther, who's a sniveling little worm and a guy that will basically do anything he asks. If he was asked to press the bolt, he probably would do it. And that's the kind of mentality. He's got the cult of personality around him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue against that. You can't argue against the results that Carter's had everywhere he's went. In Warriors of Wrestling, he's held the No Limit title, I think, for almost over a year at this point, going up against some of the best talent in pro wrestling, and just whether it's Beyond or Five Boroughs Wrestling, anywhere he's gone, he has made a statement.
Speaking of people that have made a statement wherever they've gone, Rude Boy Riley is probably the hottest commodity in indie wrestling in this area. You know, very, very long run with the world of a Warriors of Wrestling Championship. He's also the Tier 1 champion. So what does it feel like to have him on the card?
It feels good because Riley is a buddy of mine. And he's just got he's an energy that is hard to it's hard to elaborate because he is basically every pop punk band leader in a person.
Yeah.
And he's just so good. And you're going to hear the same platitudes from me because I believe and I love these guys. I love this roster. I love the talent that's being brought to the table. And a guy like Root Boy Riley, who holds titles here in New York, but also held titles in Paragon and Vegas mm-hmm. and worked all over the world, was just in England, got an award from Johnny frickin' Saint. And the fact that he's able to travel the world, travel, you know, internationally in England, Canada, I wouldn't be surprised if other people are looking at him. He's a guy that sooner or later a bigger company is going to grab. And the fact that they haven't done it yet just means that we're getting in on the ground floor of something special with Root Boy Riley.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last guy. It's kind of funny. I did an interview a couple of years ago, and I was interviewing one of the guys from Warriors of Wrestling, and I asked him, who'd you ever have, who do you think you've had your best match with? And at the time he said, you know, Bull Dempsey, who we know now is, who we know now as Bull James. And I was kind of surprised because from what I saw from him in NXT, I mean, he was a fun, like, bulldozer, Bam Bam Bigelow type, but he was just talking about how much stamina he had and how much of a different worker he was, away from NXT. So can you just talk about, like, how his in-ring style on the indie scene is a bit different from what maybe some people have expected from him in on the WWE Network?
I think it's more in terms of aggression and having something to prove. For Bull James, he was a guy who was there on the NXT roster, performed in the Barclays Center, has been a guy who traveled the world with the WWE and the NXT brand, and now has been away from the company for almost a year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got something to prove. He's got something to prove to himself that he is a top star. You saw him go up against Adam Cole in Ring of Honor. And he's looking to prove that he belongs on national television. And putting him against a guy like Anthony Gangone, who's another guy who has something to prove every time he's in the ring. There's a message. There's a reason to être for both of these guys. And then for them to prove that they belong at the upper echelon of this industry. And whether it's inside the ring or outside the ring, they're working hard to prove that. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what Bull James does inside the ring. He tries to prove that he belongs on the upper tier of this industry.
All right, awesome. Can we just, I know now that we've kind of gone out of our way to, you know, talk about like the main players, can we just run down the card of what's announced so far? And
well, we have the House of Glory Championship. The House of Glory World title will be defended as Anthony Gangone goes up against Bull James. And you just heard me talk about how both of these guys have something to prove. And we're thankful to House of Glory. We have a great relationship with House of Glory, obviously, because while Anthony Gangone is on our roster, we also have a very close working relationship with House of Glory management. And due to, you know, I work at House of Glory as a manager and announcer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can, luckily have that kind of relationship. So we were able to make this deal, and it sets the tone for our card, for all of our cards going forward, to have this level of championship match featuring a guy like Gango, who's gone up against TJP, former WWE Cruiserweight champion, who's going up against Ricochet next month at the student showcase
mm-hmm.
at the Elks Lodge, where we're having our show Give the People What They Want. We've got those two guys in a title match, in a match that can be proven to be a main event on any independent wrestling show.
Absolutely.
In the Northeast, if not North America. And it's one of four matches that we feel are main event quality. And I've seen arguments about what a main event match is. If you look at what's gone on with Hell in a Cell,
mm-hmm.
the idea of multiple main events. But
yeah.
Main event quality is something that means something to me. These matches are main event quality because they can be a main event. They can go on live anywhere,
sure.
anywhere in any company. And we're bringing them to you, four of them, on our first show.
So you've got the House of Glory Championship match, and now you've got Darius Carter, which we've talked about, versus Sonny Kiss, another a guy that's got some now experience in ROH. What is it like to have Sonny be a part of this?
Sonny is probably the most charismatic human being in wrestling. He is the most charismatic person I've ever met in my life, and it's kind of opposite of Darius Carter, and kind of opposite of me, and just like, I try to be a little more subdued. I'm a little more high strung and a little more tightly wound, but Sonny is just an infectious human being.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot deny his athleticism, his talent. The opportunities being afforded Sonny right now whether they come from Ring of Honor, TNA, wherever, he's a guy that will not be denied and is a tenacious sumbitch. He fights hard. He will fight back. And Darius Carter is going to test Sonny Kiss. I think that match is a sleeper for the most aggressive match of the night. That one's going to be a fight. And that one's going to be fun to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see what Carter's intern, because everywhere Darius Carter goes, he has to have some semblance of protection or strategy. And having that intern on the outside, PK Luther the Fifth, is a solid insurance policy in terms of a distraction. But I don't know if it'll be enough to distract Sonny Kiss.
Okay. We discussed Matt Tremont versus Ken Broadway already. We talked about Rude Boy Riley. Maxwell Jacob Feinstein, you know, better known as MJF. What do you think is going to go on in that match?
I think that match is a match I know both guys are excited for because they both want to prove something. It's Long Island versus Staten Island, which inherently is an argument between two guys in a diner about which one is better. It's a barroom argument.
Yeah.
And the better answer is it's a draw because both of them are garbage dumps. Feinstein is the hottest young free agent in pro wrestling, and he's a guy who is running on a parallel track to Riley. MJF is getting a lot of looks in Combat Zone Wrestling and CZW. He is the star of Creative Pro's Academy. He's a guy that's getting a lot of opportunities at Wrestle Pro and all around the New York area. And Riley, basically MJF is where Riley, MJF is where Riley was 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the video that MJF sent to Futures Now on our Facebook page, if you just search ICW Presents Futures Now, you'll see Feinstein loves that Riley has turned himself into what a wrestler should look like. But he makes fun of the fact that Riley used to be a little overweight and that he might have been a nerd or a guy that was stuffed in lockers. And Feinstein's looking to do that. Feinstein is looking to be the bully on the block. And there is a lot of bullies on our block. But the old prison adage, the first day in jail, you go up to the toughest dude in the room, you hit him in the face with a chair.
Yep.
And that's what Feinstein's looking to do on November 18th.
All right, so you got two tag team matches on the card, too. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, we've got the Zoltan going up against the New York Wrecking Crew. The Zoltan, former FSW Tag Team Champions. I believe they're still current FSW Tag Team Champions. And the New York Wrecking Crew, one of the standout tag teams in House of Glory. Guys that remind me of the Brain Busters, and I'm not just saying that because I manage them, but this is two of the toughest teams in New York, not named EYFBO throwing hand, and I'm excited for this one because it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be the New York Wrecking Crew bringing their best, the Zoltan bringing their best, and on the outside you have the Walking Riot Rays, who, if you've not seen his work in 2KW against Matt Tremont or AR Fox, you really need to watch those matches. Because Reigns calls himself the King of Monsters, and it's no joke. This man is a monster. And then you've got some schmuck named Matthew Ryan Shapiro on the other side who carries a textbook, who might be trying to bring a little bit of a fight to Reigns, but not directly, because, well, he's scared. And the second match is the Super Savages, who everybody should know it's Monte and Caveman going up against the Friends of Tom, Jeff Campbell and Jay George. Now, I don't know if you've seen any of the Friends of Tom videos or photos.
They're interesting.
It seems that there is some sort of cult.
Yeah.
And it's based upon The Best Show with Tom Sharpling, and that they have a manager, AP Mike from The Best Show, who will be the manager. But it seems, and the video should be coming out hopefully this week, that AP Mike will have a manager as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a tag team with a manager.
That has a manager. Yeah. Would you expect anything different from Jay George or anything that's associated with Jay George?
This is going to be the weirdest match in the history of professional wrestling. I am setting the bar that high that these four creeps are going to bring something so strange to the Super Savages that I make the Super Savages look normal. It'll make a superhero and a caveman look normal compared to guys who think G.G. Allen died in his sleep. They don't know how, they passed away, that G.G. Allen passed away instead of dying violently of an overdose. They're weird. They're weird, they're creepy, they threw a pebble garbage can at my head once. I think they challenged Hall and Oates to a fight. They're from Newbridge, and you'll never find Newbridge on a map, but it is the weirdest town. Their ex-mayor stole a tank. They keep sending me messages about requiring a device, but they won't say what the device is for. They just say that there's a lot of whirring. It has to make a lot of whirring noises. They frighten me. They frighten me greatly. I don't know how to handle these people.
Oh, man. So, the other singles matches on the card, and it's kind of crazy, because we went through the card already, and this is already, like, an amazing event, but now, like, stuffed in the middle of the card, you got Mike Verna, who, I mean, if you're an indie wrestling guy in New York, you gotta know, and then Joey Ace is a guy that's bounced around all of the independents, and that's another guy that a lot of people know is, like, a quality worker. So, what is it like to have these four guys in the middle of your card?
Well, let's talk about this. Like, it's the generation fights. You have the new generation guys, Verna and Joey Ace, going up against Azrael. Verna going up against Azrael, and Joey Ace going up against Papa Don. And Papa Don and Azrael represent ICW. These guys were the standard bearers. They were cornerstones, along with Danny DeMonto, Low-Key, Amazing Red, of ICW throughout its run. And to have these guys as pseudo-gatekeepers, to test guys like Verna, test guys like Joey Ace, to see if they're able to be standard bearers for this brand. A lot of people know about Verna and the titles he's held. He is, if you were building the prototype for what many people think a pro wrestler should look like, it's Mike Verna.
Yeah, he's built like an animal.
Verna is a athlete. He looks and walks and talks like a pro wrestler. He's got that natural ability about him. And the same thing can be said about Joey Ace. Joey Ace is probably in the best shape of his career. He's more motivated than I think I've ever seen him, and I've known Joey for 5 years. And Joey's crazy. Joey's freaking crazy.
In a good way, though.
But Papa Don has held titles in North Carolina. He's in WrestleCade now every year. He is working in ECWA. He is one of the quantifiable great names of the last generation to make it out of New York, to travel, to get opportunities. And he is a guy that feels like he is undervalued. And he feels like this is still his territory, that the Elks Lodge is still his house. And if there's going to be a future, he's going to handpick the future. And that's why he's testing Joey Ace on November 18th. And the same can be said for Azrael. Azrael's a guy who now is in ECWA as well, who is one half of the tag team champion in ECWA. And he is looking for opportunities to prove that he's one of the most valuable wrestlers in New York City. And he's looking to bring the fight to Mike Verna. And Verna's got to bring his fight. He's got to bring his dancing shoes, because it's not going to be an easy walk for him that night.
All right, man. Bottom line, why should somebody come out to the Elks Lodge and check out this show in a couple of weeks?
Well, okay. So on November 18th, we're trying something different. It's not going to be, and we're trying to not make it your regular New York City wrestling show. I love New York City wrestling. But we need an alternative. We need people to embrace the fact that New York City culture needs to be a part of New York City wrestling. That's why we have flyers with Ray Davies' face on them. That's why we're talking about giving the people what they want. That's why we care about the music that plays during the show or during intermission. We want the experience of a show to feel like a concert. We want people to feel at these shows like they would go to CBGB's in the 70s. We want this to feel like they were going to L'Amour in the 80s. We want this to feel like the 90s New York scene in the 80s New York scene in comedy, the 90s New York scene in comedy, the 70s and 80s punk scene. We want this to feel like we're changing the face of what wrestling should look like in this city. And these are the guys that are going to do it. If you believe in pro wrestling, if you believe in wrestling in New York City, and that it should be action packed. It should feature the best guys. It should feature people that will make you care about this sport, about this industry, about this product. You need to come down and let us give the people what they want on November 18th. This show isn't about us. It isn't about our ego. It isn't about us, you know, trying to make a huge change. We're trying to give people what they want. I want this to be a show people talk about for the next 5 years. I want this to be a show that people talk about for the next 5 years. And the long-term plan for this company is to be a Northeast alternative. A lot of people talk about how PWG is punk rock. We want Futures Now to be the same, in the same sentence. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take a long time. But if you invest in us, we're going to invest in you. We're investing in some of the best talent. We're investing in helping make a building that people identify with New York wrestling the cool place to be on taking the R train to Grand Avenue, Newtown. It's not necessarily the coolest trek in the world. But it's a Friday night in New York City. Tickets are under $50. If you're going out to a show in New York City, non-wrestling, like if you're going to a concert or something like that, you're spending that much money. You're spending more money. We've got a bar in the building. So you get drunk, watch pro wrestling, have a kick-ass time, listen to some kick-ass music, and embrace the alternative. Make New York wrestling cool again. That's our goal. Making New York wrestling cool for New York wrestling fans and people who might not watch wrestling as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We want people from Astoria, Park Slope, Williamsburg, Greenpoint, anywhere that liked wrestling as a kid, come watch our show and have some fun and feel like wrestling isn't something that's a dirty word. Wrestling is cool, you guys. Wrestling is the ultimate hybrid of sports and entertainment. And every once in a while, people have to admit that and say, hey, we want to have fun. We want to watch people tell a kick-ass story and have kick-ass matches. We want you to believe for that 3 hours. We want you to tell a friend. That's all it is. That's all it is.